Pentecost Sunday really is the celebration of God gifting the church with his Spirit, with God's Spirit. It's often called the birthday of the church, at that time when frightened disciples become courageous witnesses of the things that God does. Birthdays usually involved special gifts. We like gifts. Who doesn't like getting gifts? And other birthdays are memorable and for different reasons. Someone once joked about birthdays that sometimes it costs more for the candles on the cake than the actual cake itself, because there's so many candles. Another person joked that you know you're getting older when your back goes out more than you do out of the house, right? Birthdays are wonderful. Celebrations of life, we get to honor people that we love. Pentecost is a beautiful day in the life of the church because it's not simply of the beginning of an institution, but the beginning of a movement in which God gifts a community of people, just like our own. And the fact that God is still gifting and moving and calling people today as the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, as we look at our two different passages, a lot of different centuries are between the two, and yet there's some commonalities. The Spirit moving in different ways, in different times, and today as well. In Numbers 11, the Spirit falls on those two men outside of the camp, outside of the authorized people of God, the leaders. And the one guy, it's a bit of a tattletale, isn't he? But anyways, that's just what I noted. The people are being filled, and immediately Joshua becomes uncomfortable with it and says to Moses, "My Lord, stop them." Why does Joshua react this way? Maybe it's because the Spirit shows up beyond the expected structure that we'd expect. The Spirit's a free agent and moves in ways that we don't always see or know or understand, and it bothers him. Then we come to 1 Corinthians in Corinth, and although the setting is different, the struggle is seemingly the same. The church in Corinth is full of division and comparison. People are ranking their spiritual gifts, looking to the more charismatic ones as being more powerful or more important than some of the other gifts. And it begins to feel like the church is rivals, individuals rivaling against each other. Which gifts are more important? Who is truly spiritual? Who gets more recognition? And before long, the gifts that are meant to unite are actually ones that begin dividing the church. But beneath both passages lies the deeper human issue. The issue isn't that God is absent, but that people want God to work in ways that feel predictable, in ways that we know and can understand and can lock down and say, this is the way that God works. That feels more predictable, kind of like an engine, right? And it's got a cylinder and it's got piston rings, and when things are out of whack, if you change those rings, the engine's going to run a heck of a lot more smooth, right? That just came to my mind. Just making sure some people are still awake. We're talking, come on, this is good stuff here. In both Numbers and Corinthians, just like on Pentecost, the Spirit is given, but people begin worrying, who has it? Right? That can make things uncomfortable. Who has it and who doesn't? Who's in? Who's out? Makes the room uncomfortable. Instead of receiving the Spirit as a gift, they turn it into a question of status and control and comparison. I do remember attending a charismatic church. Who's attended a charismatic church before? Okay. And when I was in university and college, it was awesome. It was cool to see. They had a bus, and they would go to the minimum security detention center and bring people to church, and people were recovering from addictions and that, and it was really cool to see people coming alive and recognizing that there's a God who loves them. It was amazing. And I was like, I want in on this, because this is really cool. And so I started going to their 5:30 Fire and Freedom prayer meeting. My parents were like, what are you doing? 5:30 in the morning, I had to get up at like 4:30. And we'd go to these prayer meetings, and I tried to kind of get involved more to try to get more power so I could be like the people who were really doing good works. And the more that I tried to get in it, the more I realized, oh my gosh, like, it feels like we're all competing to try to get to the top of the ladder, to the top of the rung. And I'm like, this is just something a little off here. My little Presbyterian church that I grew up in, the people, it wasn't like that. I'm like, there's differences here. And yet, the more that I thought about it, the Christian life can feel a little less like a body and more just like a collection of individuals that are just working their own ways. Something didn't seem quite right. Yet the Holy Spirit is given not simply to make us feel impressive ourselves, but it's given to build up the whole community. And churches can act, I've seen this too in other ways, like they have it all going on. Like they're like the only church in the world that's doing it right. They're the only ones that have the right doctrine and the right music and the right spirituality, and they serve the best. And it makes you feel like if you're not part of this group, you're not quite in the right, you know, the right circle. I don't know about that either. Seems a little bit off as well. Churches can struggle in many different ways, like Corinth. We can make the minister the greatest thing, or the music, or the leadership. And we can, charisma, who's got the most charisma? And yet neglect things like hospitality and service, caring, listening, encouraging, administrating. Just being faithful can become overlooked. Often it's the opposite thing in many churches, where a few people are really, really busy and people have a hard time fitting into the church too. I've seen that through the presbytery. But sometimes political identity, what we believe in our political lives, can be the thing that really stands out in the church. And yet we know there's so much diversity in the church. So it's hard to say we're a church that is, boom, this political persuasion. Sometimes older generations are made to feel unnecessary, or young people have a hard time fitting into the church because they can't see the way, a way forward. Our world, too, constantly teaches people to compare and compete and control, and it's in every aspect of life, social media, politics, sports, you name it. I don't have to tell you. I do remember growing up, and my next-door neighbor, his dad had this incredible shop, and my dad was an accountant. And so dad, if you're watching, you would ask mom to fix the lawnmower. And that was cool. We were all good with it. But I kind of loved being in this shop, and you could smell the sweet smell of gasoline and oil. It just kind of like, this is wonderful. And at the same time, I remember seeing that sign, amongst other things, by the way, as a 14-year-old boy in a shop like this. But there was this sign that said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." You've heard this one? "He who dies." And I thought, this is great, right? Life is all about what you can get and put together, and somehow that's empty too, isn't it? Eventually, somebody always is more talented, more successful, more spiritual, more put together than we are. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news running through our gospel today, is that the Spirit falls on the two guys that are outside the camp. It falls on Moses and Joshua. And in court, the Spirit gifts believers regardless of their education, their spiritual status, their gender, their wealth, their personality. Spirit falls on all. The Apostle Paul says we can know this is true because no one can say that Jesus is Lord without the Spirit. That's the test. You believe in Jesus, you've got the Spirit. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to try to manufacture it. You've got it all. All that you need, right there. Paul says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit that distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and everything, the same God at work. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God, and the unity of the church depends on us recognizing this. We are all different, but the same Spirit is pumping through our body. Some teach, some encourage, some quietly care, some organize with incredible ability. Some pray, some welcome strangers, some fix things. And what more, Paul goes on to insist in verse 7, it's all for the common good. That's why we're gifted. That's why you have talents, for the common good. It's actually for others. The miracle of Pentecost is God does extraordinary things through ordinary people like you and me. There was a story, and I've told it before, so sorry, but there was this mother who took her little son to a concert to see Paderewski, and the mother brought this little boy to the concert, and she immediately realized it was a bad idea when his foot started going and he was fidgeting and he couldn't sit still. And she started talking to the friends behind her, and the little boy made his way down to the center stage to the keyboard, and he started doing twinkle twink, and the crowd was just shocked. And Paderewski came out, and without missing a beat, he whispered into the boy, "Just keep going." And the boy did that, and he sat down and filled in the harmonies and the melodies, and it was beautiful. The whole concert hall was just uplifted in this moment. In many ways, this is what the Holy Spirit does in the church. Our own gifts may feel small, insignificant, uncertain, and ordinary, but when the Spirit begins working through us together, God creates something beautiful for the sake of our community, right here and right now. It's important for us to hear it, because I too sometimes feel like, does my life make any difference? Maybe you feel, am I too old? Am I too inexperienced? Am I gifted enough? And Pentecost says, once and for all, you are enough. And the Spirit delights in working through you. Not perfect, not flashy, not having it all figured out, but ordinary people like fishermen, young people, seniors, workers, caregivers, parents, retirees, students, quiet servants working behind the scenes, people who feel overlooked. You are part of the body. The Spirit of God moves through ordinary lives, and sometimes we think that we have to drum up this usefulness, and we don't. Because when we deliver a meal to somebody who's grieving, give a ride to someone for a medical appointment, when you share your faith, just talk about how God has been good, that matters. Small, simple ways, teaching children, being with somebody who's lonely, saying a prayer for your hurting friend. This is all part of it, singing in the choir, watching someone who's new at church and just saying hello, welcoming them into the community, giving generously, offering forgiveness to the guy around the corner who keeps annoying you. They may seem small, but in the hands of the Spirit, these become holy things that God works through for God's purposes. The church is strongest not when we're on our own, but when we're together, encouraging one another. The Spirit still moves through communities like our own. And I'll end the sermon today with a story about the composer Rossini. The King of France gifted Rossini, the composer, with an elaborate watch. And this watch was so special, and Rossini had it on his shelf for so long that he didn't know how special it was, until a friend of his came, pushed a button on it, and the picture of the King of France came onto this watch. It was really cool. And he had this thing his whole time, and he didn't know how powerful and how wonderful this watch really was. I think our lives can be a little bit like that too, where the Spirit is moving in our lives, and yet we don't even know. And maybe it's good that it's like that. Maybe it's good that we don't even know how powerful we are because the Holy Spirit is with us. Friends, Pentecost reminds us that the Church of Jesus Christ is never built around one person or two people or 12 people, but the Spirit is poured on all God's people for God's kingdom that is here and coming. It works through ordinary people like you and me. The Holy Spirit gifts ordinary people to do extraordinary things together. Thanks be to God. Amen.